This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cox.
Hello, hello, hello. my name is Rachel Downey. I've got my co-host Olivia Cox
here. Hello.
And this is our very first show on Pitch Talk.
I'm so excited. Yeah, you're listening to Pitch Talk on FUBAR Radio, where we're going to be bringing you all the latest and breaking sport and fitness news. I do feel now as if I'm just speaking through our promo video.
Pretty much are. It's brilliant. Don't worry, we'll do it again and again. If you want to tweet us anytime, please do so. I was going to say morning, noon and night, but ideally in the next hour at FUBAR Radio, or you can email us if you like that, pitch at FUBARradio.com. We've got coming up on today's show, we're bringing you all the latest from the world of sport and discussing the latest football news with footballer Sam Saunders a bit later on.
Sam's also got his sports brand, swimwear.
Swimwear.
We're going to be talking swimwear with Sam as well, which will nicely segue into health and fitness news. I have news of the latest high street brand to jump onto the athleisure bandwagon. And I've also got, if you can't beat them, join them, news of how you can take on London's fitness elite by climbing a vertical mile at Anthony Joshua's Marylebone Gym. And finally, what happened when I discovered naked yoga?
There's so much I could say about
it. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute.
I think we should... Done. Yeah. It's done. Yeah. Well, we're going to go from naked yoga to football. I mean, we are living the dream right here. We will be chatting more, football mainly with Sam, but I want to just touch on very briefly, Gareth Southgate's announced yesterday his England team for the friendly next week. And what I will say is there are three uncapped players that are going to be joining the team. We've got Tammy Abraham, Joe Gomez and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. We've got the young'uns. And I do like this, the evolution of youth. Some people are saying this is great. We've got these young players coming in. They're bringing this this energy. But what about the experienced players that could deal with that pressure of playing on an international platform?
I know. I hear what you're saying about this. Thanks. Rachel. But do you like that? That's very democratic.
It is.
I actually think it's a good thing. I think that's where they cut their teeth. They have to get this experience. The only way you're going to get experience really is by playing. And I think the danger that clubs and countries run into when they're fielding teams is if you're only using the experienced players and then shoving on the inexperienced ones at the end, they're really not going to get that experience. They're not going to get the starting lineup feeling. And that's a hell of a lot of pressure. And you have to do it at some point.
You do. And I get what he's doing. It's great to do it on a friendly. It really, really is. But, you know, the pressure on an international stage, it's huge. It's nothing like what they've done so far, within their own club in the Premier League. It's a completely different pressure. So I guess only time will tell.
I know. But the thing is, even the experienced players can snap under pressure. I mean, just look at Patrice Evra, one of the big stories coming out of games yesterday, who kicked a fan.
Yeah, I'm very... Now, the first thing, I'm looking down at one of the headlines here. Evra does a Cantona. Now, I do absolutely love Eric Cantona's infamous kung fu kick. Just very, very briefly, actually. Last year, I went out to Singapore and did some teaching, basically, sports teaching for kids. And it was really hard. I was rubbish at it. I'm not going to lie. I actually, at one point, played my showreel to them because I literally had nothing. And when I got really dry, I said to them, have you seen Eric Cantona do this kung fu kick? And they'd never seen it before. So I spent about half an hour showing all these kids, love football, Cantona's kick. And it is brilliant. And I do love Eric Cantona. But this is actually, it is very serious with this Patrice Evra. He was sent off in the warm-up last night for kicking his own fan in the head. Basically, and it's never been done before, he's the first player ever to be sent off before Europa League tie. It's thought that he was on the receiving end of a number of chants, of racist chants and abusive words. He is going to be reprimanded for that, obviously. The thing that sticks with me is, yes, he's going to miss some games. Yes, UEFA are going to, put in what they need to make sure it doesn't happen again. But what about the fan? Like, yeah. What's going to happen to him?
And you know what? This is a toughie because he reacted probably the way that most people would react if they were taunted with potentially racist or hateful trolling, essentially. But he's a professional footballer and he should have the capabilities to rein in his emotions, and we have to trust in our players that they can react in a way that is befitting their club.
Yes, I totally agree. He should not have done it. But, and it is very, we are, there is a lot to say, I guess, with this. With the Premier League, we are lucky we have, we've got people like Kick It Out that do deal with things like this. And I mean, I'm not saying racism in football over here has stopped. We're a long way off from that. But it does seem in other countries, I don't know if they're less, I don't know, they get away with it more. There's, you read stories like this a lot with football in Italy, in France. You know, these fans, they should be banned. I mean, I'd like to see a ban for life for people that do something like this. So I mean, this is my own personal opinion. I bet nothing happens to them.
You know what? I think in sports generally, bullying and issues like abuse are being cracked down on. I read a story today, I think it's the Scottish RFU, so the Rugby Football Union, are actually cracking down on the initiation processes after someone was put in hospital for a club initiation. And I think there is a growing education where we're saying, you know what, these are people too.
Yeah, and again, we are lucky actually over here in the fact that they are, like you say, beginning to crack down. And it does start with the foundations. You've got to kind of, you know, like with football, it starts, I think, with grassroots football, kind of teaching people then, teaching parents on the sidelines, watching their kids. I think, again, I think I read this week that, you know, your kids, you go watch your kids play football, they're going to try to stop parents from kind of screaming out.
No, really?
They're going to try to do
that.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm sorry, but if I ever become a parent, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not quiet at a football game. I'm not the person you want to be next to if Arsenal are playing as a Spurs fan. I do become incredibly angry. But like, you can't, I think that's kind of maybe taking it too far because you can't stop people, but it is stopping this racism. Even if they think, oh, you didn't mean anything by it, yes you do. And again, I could go on and on about this because there's a certain chant as a Spurs supporter that
don't do it.
Spurs fans sing, but I personally don't like. I'm a Jewish girl and I don't like it. And I'm a Spurs fan, and there is that certain chant every Spurs fan will know. I personally don't like it, and my other half is a Spurs fan as well, and he sings it, and he says, but we don't mean anything by it. But that's a big topic.
I know.
For another day.
A little bit of tumbleweed. Yes. Yeah, we all just need to be mindful about what we say and what we do. The end.
Yes, the end. There we go.
Paralympics.
Let's talk about the Paralympics now. A British para sprinter has said that he entered in what was known as a cerebral palsy class despite not having the disorder. Now, this is Ian Jones, who won 2 bronze medals at the 2008 Paralympics. He was embarrassed when he was reclassified to race against those significantly more serious impairments. It was a joke and a farce, he said.
So hang on, did he enter himself into these races or did someone enter him?
He was entered, yeah. So he went through the whole rigmarole, all the testing.
But presumably they have some sort of a classification process. Because I have wondered this before, because there is a huge, huge variety of disabilities. And of course, we can't discriminate between mental disabilities and physical disabilities because both can have a huge impact on the levels of sporting achievement. But how do you say that someone can or can't take part in something?
It's as if, yes, basically. I think with sometimes with some kind of, you know, illnesses, or you know, if you look at, like, I know, I don't know how to word this very well,
but I mean, for
limbs,
example,
not all there.
Yeah, so
it's obvious where they will be fitted, yeah. But with something like this, like you say, it's like you've only really got a person's word on it. This is very, you know, the Paralympics, incredible what they've done, incredible kind of the doors that they've opened for people, but this is something that seriously needs to be rectified pretty quickly. I mean, we've also got, I think it was, Bethany Woodward, who won in 2012. She actually gave her medal back for the same reason, because she felt she didn't deserve the medal because there was other people competing against her that shouldn't have been there. But then, I guess on the flip side, you're going to have, say if you have a class, you're going to have someone that's maybe one end and someone else the other end. Mm. They're going to be competing against each other.
It is really difficult. And then it brings in all the questions of things like when people used to say, should the Williams sisters be classified, yes, in a different tennis group? Because they are so much more physically developed than some of the other players. And it is a very difficult one, because where do you draw the line then?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But then again, and I'm reading this here with Ian Jones, he said that he also knows of British athletes who wear heavy prosthetics to make them look more disabled,
no,
and qualify for easier classes. He's also said, when it came to him, I do not have cerebral palsy. I had no medical notes saying I had cerebral palsy, nothing.
So what, is this just a big mix-up?
No, I told the classifiers I didn't have it. But then why did he still compete? I don't understand. Mm. Why is he now coming forward and saying, yes, I'm one of these people, one of these victims? You know, Bethany Woodward, she handed her medal back in.
Has he handed his medal back in?
It doesn't say that he did.
Well,
so
we smell a rat here at FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very brave to come forward and say, you know, and speak up, you know. And I guess if you are in the Paralympics right now, you can't speak up because you will be dropped, you'll lose your funding. So they are very brave to come forward. But they've got to turn this around, because I know they've got proceedings going on at the moment. And I know, I'm just looking at, yeah, Paralympic classification. Everyone is cheating system, says former chief executive. Now, that's a huge statement to make as well. Everyone is cheating the system. Mm. This has to be stopped. This has to be changed, because, I don't know, they've got to look deeper into it. They really, really have. So, yeah, only time will tell, I think, with this, whether or not there is weight in it. But I don't know. Again, my personal opinion, I can't help but think there is quite a lot in this.
Yeah.
There really
something
is.
Has got to change. Clearly, there needs to be a classification system. Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah, I do. Olivia Cox, everybody.
This has got really, really deep.
Deep
but
and meaningful.
We've got something really exciting coming up, because Taekwondo expert and dancer Nadia. Now, I don't want to mispronounce her surname, Rachel.
I'm
you
not going to help. No, go on.
No,
I can say it's because I know Nadia, so it's fine.
Okay.
God, you can do it. I'm here with you. We're all here with you.
Sohawan?
Nothing.
Sahawan.
Nowhere near.
Sohawan.
Nowhere near.
Rescue me.
Sahawan.
What do you mean nowhere near?
Nowhere near.
Okay, Nadia S. will be here live in the studio a little bit later on to talk to me and Rachel, if she plays nicely, about all the latest trends in fitness and health.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll be chatting very, very shortly to Sam Saunders. We're going to be chatting more in depth about, obviously, Super Sunday. We're chatting about England, and Olivia will be chatting to him about his swimwear brand, Thomas Royal. So do not go anywhere. We're going to take a little breather for a couple of minutes.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Downey.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Good afternoon, it's Friday, it's 4 o'clock, it's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James. This is how much I like sleep. For my last birthday, I asked my parents, they were like, what do you want? I was like, I really like some orthopaedic pillows, and I'd like an extra foam mattress on top. They were like, okay, that's a really weird present, but all right, and I don't regret it. My whole bed feels like a massive boob, it's great.
Hello and welcome.
My name is Callum McSwiggan, and this is my brand new show on FUBAR Radio.
I work really hard on curating like a lovely group of really diverse, interesting people on Twitter, just so that...
Callum, I have seen your reply. Don't come to me with your I'd like to curate a list of interesting, sexually attractive young single men. They come up on my timeline, you thirsty bastard.
Oh, hello, my name's Joey Page. I sound like this. He's Si Thomas, he sounds like that.
I sound like this.
Yeah. And we will be playing Human Top Trumps. I ask all the bands that are on the show the same questions, like the categories from Top Trumps. One question I'm going to be asking the bands is, do you have a nickname? Like, mine's fairly standard. Pagey, Page,
dickhead.
Welcome to Screen Talk. I'm Darren Clark, and we have a wonderful show for you today. When I was a kid, I believed that Yoda from the Star Wars films was real. Actually real. I thought it was a real thing. At some point in my adult life, I remembered that I used to think it was real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, can you imagine if he was? And, like, he'd be on talk shows just, like, complaining about being typecast. And
welcome to the show. I'm Ian, and Nat's over there.
Hello.
Sounds moody.
I've been looking at pictures of John Holmes' penis.
Yep.
Because Nat had them on the screen, and I share a screen with Nat. So I just watched Nat basically Google porn.
12-inch, too big.
So what have you been used to then? What's been happening in your life? What do you mean you don't know?
It's
how do you not know your own experience?
Without a tape measure, I would cry if I saw that. And probably run away screaming.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. This is Pitch Talk. I'm Rachel Downey.
I'm Olivia Cox.
We're going to have to work on that.
We hadn't quite rehearsed that.
No, I've actually done your... It's okay, we'll work on it.
I feel like maybe I might forget my name because I've actually been handed a FUBAR Radio Stephen mug with my coffee in it.
And we all know you're not Stephen until a Saturday. Oh, I know, I tease. We've got something very exciting. Lol. Something very, very exciting now. Our very first phone guest. So let's welcome... onto the phone right now. We've got Wickham Wanderers, Sam Saunders. Sam, hello.
Hello, how are we?
I'm all right. Hello, Sam.
It works.
We're very excited about that. So, Sam, you began your career in non-league football. You were part of the Dagenham and Redbridge side, which was promoted to the Football League for the first time in the club's history. And later on, you made 200 appearances from Brentford, and you've just become a dad. You've packed quite a lot so far in your life, haven't you?
Well, yeah, the hardest bit's been probably the last month with the little nipper, but no, to be honest, it was playing non-league, not really expecting to have a career in football, if I was honest. And then like I say, I'm lucky enough to have been nearly 400 games in now. See, I'm 34, so it's not getting any easier. But at 23 years old, I didn't think I'd be a professional footballer. So
you actually worked as an electrician for the London Underground, is that right?
Yeah, I used to work nights.
Wow!
Especially it was at the time when the Jubilee was getting built, obviously for the Olympics, and we helped install the new cables.
That's insane. That is. What do you say to that? Oh my God, that is amazing. So, and again, I bet you never thought you'd have the career that you've had.
It's mad, obviously, because especially the Jubilee, it goes all the way to Wembley, and at the time the new Wembley was all built and that, and you look over from Wembley's tube station, and just think, oh, imagine playing there. And lucky enough, I played there 3 times now. So it's something that at the time when I was used to work, and I used to have my high visibility vest on and steel toe cap boots and a hard hat, and you'd never think you'd be trying that over there.
That's incredible.
Exactly.
That's definitely something for the bucket list.
Yeah, that really is incredible. Well, you know, you talk about Wembley there. Let's chat, first of all, about England. Gareth Southgate, announced his squad yesterday. 3 uncapped players. There's been quite a lot, you know, about, you know, Daniel Sturridge, Jack Wilshere, Chris Smalling. What do you think about the lineup for the friendly next week?
To be honest, I like it. I like the fact that he's giving these young guys who've come in and broke into first teams an opportunity. We all want to see a bit more attacking play, and especially like Loftus-Cheek in the middle of the park. He goes past people. He's a good player to watch, along with Harry Winks as well. I played against Harry last year in the FA Cup game when we played against Spurs, and He was one of the players to really shine out last year, and then unfortunately at the back end of last season he picked up the ankle injury.
Yeah.
But then he's come back strong and he's keeping some good players out of the Spurs team now, and he probably deserves his call up as well.
Yeah, and again, I'm a Spurs fan, so I'm very, very happy yet again that a lot of our players have been called up. Let's then touch on Super Sunday. It is a Super Sunday. I'm already, like, believing the hype. We'll start with Man City, Arsenal. Surely it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to go to City.
Well, you'd think, and, like, I'm a Spurs fan too, so I'd quite like Arsenal to do us a favour, to be honest, this weekend and try and halt the Guardiola revolution, to be honest. They're looking a little...
they really are.
and with their front line, and Sane and Sterling, who's having an unbelievable season as well. They've got goals throughout their team. So it's going to be a tough task for Wenger, and it's probably one of the ones that if they do lose, everyone will be looking on Twitter to see what the reaction is like. But it's going to be a tough game, and as a Spurs fan and just a football fan, hopefully it'll be an open game and with lots of goals, and I would like to see Arsenal get a draw, to be honest. But at this moment in time, you can't really see that, can you?
No, you really, really can't. Well, do you know what then, as a Spurs fan, before we chat about the Chelsea-Man U game, what did you think about the Real Madrid game?
I was delighted with the result over there, to be honest.
Yeah, I was happy.
I was lucky enough to get to the first game in the groups. I went to watch that game when we turned them over, and that was a big surprise. And that was not a big surprise, but it was. When you're a Spurs fan, you are quite surprised when they don't let you down.
Yeah,
sometimes. But
it's true.
They seem to be a lot more resolute this under Pochettino. And yeah, it was a good game when I watched them play a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to the Real Madrid game because the tickets were, as you mentioned, like hotcakes. But yeah, it was a fantastic result, and I see young English lad Dele Alli getting a brace, and it's nice to see as an England fan as well that Poch does give these young players chances. He gives Harry Winks a chance over at the Bernabeu and stuff, you know, and big games, big occasions, and he didn't hold back, and he didn't look out of place, and he in certain parts of the game he was running it, so it's good. And this is what unfortunately happens with the English players, and how we're looking at players that have probably only played 10-15 Premiership games that are now make it into the squad. It's because it's so rare, and they're few and far between, unfortunately, and it's a problem that we've been looking at for a long time now. And even though, let's say, the likes of Chelsea's and Manchester City have been winning the league, unfortunately, there hasn't been too many homegrown players coming through into their teams, and they've had to go out and loan to get their experience. And you look at Man City and Chelsea, who have got arguably the best record in the Premiership in recent times, but they've also got the best youth team records, but none of them ever seem to play, you know. Every year in the youth team cup finals, it's always Man City and Chelsea, and Chelsea get all the best lads from down south, and Man City get all the best young lads from up north. And then unfortunately, they get to a stage where then they stagnate a little bit when they get to a certain age of stop improving, and then they have to get loaned out. And unfortunately, that's what's been not really been in favour for the English national side, because, like I say, the players that are now getting call-ups are only playing 10-15 Premier League games, and they're getting in.
Exactly.
Which is,
and then you get this uproar that you're getting right now. But I think that's very well said. I totally agree with you. I hope with the... And I like Tammy Abraham, I think, is a great player. I think it's fantastic that he's made the team. And I do think Southgate will be able to mould these players into what he wants for the England team. I've got, again, because we're Spurs fans, high hopes for the future of the England team. But I think we could do it this time.
He's done it the hard way. He's went out on loan on numerous occasions. He went to Bristol City last year and played against them. I was very impressed with his movement. At a particular game that we played against him, he had 3 1-on-1s, and fortunately for us at the time, he didn't convert them. But his movement and his movement off the shoulders and his intelligent run was getting him chances. And he's kicked it on again into the Premier League this year. But it's another lad that's had to go away from Chelsea to get 13 minutes.
It's true, very well said. Very well said.
So he's obviously a talented player, and given minutes at Swansea has now enabled him to get that in and call up to showcase himself at the highest level.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see him, how he performs. Very quickly, before I pass you to Olivia, the Chelsea-Man U game, what do you think? What are you erring for? How do you think Jose, let's be honest, how do you think Jose is going to cope going back to Stamford Bridge?
Well, I think last time he went back, it didn't end up too well for him. And I think I heard a stat earlier on, funny enough, that against the top four or five teams, Mourinho's, in the last six games, Mourinho's side's only scored once. So I'm not looking at lots of goals, if I'm being honest.
No.
It's probably a good time for Manchester United to play Chelsea after midweek and what's happening there at the moment. So Mourinho being Mourinho, you think it's probably going to set up as like a 0-0 or 1-0 kind of one team nick it. But I think it's a good time to go out there and actually put Chelsea a bit under pressure, because say it seems to be something that's not quite right there at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be probably Conte out. Let me pass you now to Olivia, that I believe chat about Thomas Royal.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you, Rachel. Yeah, so hi, Sam.
Hello.
I get the lovely task of asking you the much simpler questions. I want to know all about your awesome swimwear line, Thomas Royal. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, basically, it's been going now for probably 3 or 4 years. I've started it when I got a knee injury and I was out for a year, so it was something really that I just started off as a little bit of a bit of, not fun, but just something to take my mind off of the daily boredom of being injured. And it picked up, me and my good friends, we've been actually mates since we were 10, playing in the same Sunday League football. Liam Ridgewell is out in America at the moment playing for the Portland Timbers. I spoke to him about it and he'd love to get involved, and then we just went from strength to strength, managed to get ourselves in some stores, and then
I think some stores is a little bit underselling it. Where are you selling right now?
Well, I say at the moment we're not in anywhere because of the season, but yeah, we've in the class we've been in Harvey Nichols and Harrods and stuff like that, which is absolutely amazing for us.
I mean, just Harvey Nichols, you know.
I should do
just
it.
A casual Harrods. Mention, and you've got quite a cool story about how this came to be. Who is it? There's someone really cool that you're working with at the moment, isn't there?
Is there? And I say, I don't know, you tell me, you know more about me than me, I think, at the moment. But I say, we was going for about a year trading, and JT bought a load of shorts. And funny enough, his agent's, his good friend, a really good friend of mine. So I see he's wearing them in Dubai, and I said, look, do us a favour. Post us in the tag. And then John was like, well, why does Sam want us to do that? And then obviously we got onto the fact that it was mine and Liam's company. And he was like, oh, I love them. Like I said, I love the fit. I've been looking for shorts exactly like this. Loved it so much, come and met us. And now John's ended up getting on board as well with the company,
so cool.
Which has been great as well. So there's three of us behind it now trying to push it. And it's one of them brands that it takes time and it's going well, but it's a seasonal brand. So we're looking to branch out into other countries and so forth. But yeah, it's something that we're all looking at one eye out, obviously, when we do finish playing football. So we want to keep ourselves busy and doing stuff when we do finish, because none of us are getting any younger. So
that is true, and we are feeling that too. But I have to ask, why swimwear as a football player? Was that not a bit of a diversion? What made you want to go into swimwear?
Probably one or two too many holidays to Las Vegas, I think, and the lack of choices of swimwear. It was just one of the ones that we just felt that we enjoyed going on holidays, but we always found I was quite disappointed in the choice of swimwear there. And we're not only just swim shorts now, but we're bringing out, we've got girls' bikini ranges coming out now. We've got swimsuits for the younger girls and obviously matching shorts for the boys.
We've
got shirts coming out and caps, and we're looking to move on to sliders, and we're looking to make it into like a one-stop holiday shop. So
amazing,
brilliant. Well, that I think that's it for us, Rachel. We are going to take FUBAR Radio to the pool. Sam, we'll see you there. Thank you so much
for
chatting to us.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. And come on, you Spurs! Thanks, Sam. Bye,
bye, Sam.
I just shouldn't talk. I think that's the key. I just shouldn't.
I think that was marvellous. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you, Rachel.
Sam Saunders there. Brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to us, Sam. Now, we're going to take another little short break. Well, I think we've got a couple of minutes. We're going to have... who are we going to have? Nadia who?
Nadia S.
That's it. Yeah, I would do that. I would do that as well. We're going to have Nadia Saharwin joining us, taekwondo queen, dancing expert and all-round fitness goddess. If you want to tweet us, please do at FUBAR Radio. And remember, you can email us as well. pitch@fubaradio.com. If you want to say... You've done the emailing, done the tweeting. I think we did this before, like carrier pigeon. You can shout.
You could probably fax us.
Oh, my God. A beeper.
Oh, do you remember them?
I had one. I'm old.
I think I had a fake one, like a pink one with Smarties in it or something. I don't think I was allowed
a real one.
It
was just a packet of Smarties. That wasn't a beeper.
Whatever, Downey. Shall we have a break?
Yeah, I think it's time. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Well, hello there. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Harriet Rose. We've got a great show today. Very refreshing view on sex in a song, because a lot of people are a little bit more like, don't have sex with me because I love you.
You're that's like, not me.
But you're like, I want to have sex and I want you to never speak to me again.
Hello. You are listening to the News-ish radio show. I'm, of course, Sean Walsh, joined, as always, by Mark Simmons.
That's me.
What's up, motherfuckers?
What are you talking about? That is not you. What do you mean? I hope you know what Mark Simmons looks like. It does not... Mark Simmons looks... He's gangly, sort of lanky, right. goggle-eyed.
Yeah, goggle-eyed.
Ginger, awkward, right. Freak.
You're locked into FUBAR. It's myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Miles Diggy.
Do you know what Buddha says?
What does he say? Me and say them worship some big belly fat man. What does Buddha say anyway?
He basically says, you can only lose what you cling to.
Woo! Let's just let it go.
Hello, it's Lucy Candy and...
It's Stephen Lang. I'm not singing it.
Sorry.
Today I saw you were with
Angie Best, the first original WAG. She looked incredible. And do you know she had a night with Elvis Presley? She said, my son looked like Elvis. And I said, how do you know? And she went, well, I had a night with him.
Really?
It's true, honestly.
Hi, I'm Michael Payne.
Hi, I'm Ruth Sanders.
And this is FUBAR Radio.
I came head to head with, I would describe her as a roadman. And you know you do that thing where you step to the right, then you step to the left, and then vice versa. Yeah. And then, yeah. You know when you make you the person laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Did the most serious cha-cha ever.
Yeah, ever. I had my headphones and he was probably doing that roadman laugh. Yeah. when the mouth isn't open.
Yeah, yeah, just...
Oh, hello, my name's Joey Page, I sound like this. East Side Thomas, he sounds like that.
That's it, well, yeah, I sound like this.
Yeah, and we will be playing Human Top Trumps. I ask all the bands that are on the show the same questions, like the categories from Top Trumps. One question I'm going to be asking the bands is, do you have a nickname? Like, mine's fairly standard, Pagey, Page, Dickhead.
Good afternoon, it's Friday, it's 4 o'clock, it's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James, this is how much I like sleep. For my last birthday, I asked my parents, they were like, what do you want? I was like, I really like some orthopaedic pillows, and I'd like an extra foam mattress on top. They were like, okay, that's a really weird present, but alright, and I don't regret it. My whole bed feels like a massive boob, it's great.
Hello and welcome.
My name is Callum McSwiggan, and this is my brand new show on FUBAR Radio.
I work really hard on curating like a lovely group of really diverse, interesting people on Twitter, just so that...
Callum, I have seen your reply. Don't come to me with your I'd like to curate a list of interesting, sexually attractive young single men. They come up on my timeline, you thirsty bastard.
Welcome to Screen Talk. I'm Dan Clark, and we have a wonderful show for you today. When I was a kid, I believed that Yoda from the Star Wars films was real. Actually real. I thought it was a real thing. At some point in my adult life, I remembered that I used to think it was real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, can you imagine if he was? And like, he'd be on talk shows just like complaining about being typecast. And
welcome to the show. I'm Ian, and Nat's over there.
Hello.
Sounds moody.
I've been looking at pictures of John Holmes' penis.
Yep.
Because Nat had them on the screen, and I share a screen with Nat. So I just watched Nat basically Google porn.
12-inch, too big.
So what have you been used to then? What's been happening in your life? What do you mean you don't know? How do you not know your own experience?
I don't whip out a tape measure. I would cry if I saw that. I'd probably run away screaming.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You can't really cut. I want to say, yeah, FUBAR. Welcome back. This is Pitch Talk. I'm Rachel Brownie.
I can't take you seriously. Can I just tell everyone, Nadia is trying to fashion her very lovely hat on top of her headphones.
Trilby.
Now, these are not any normal headphones.
Fedora.
These are like special, the ones that sort of have a handle that you can imagine. If you know when you're playing that game in the arcade when you get the minions.
Oh, yes.
Free me. That's you, but with a hat on.
With the hat on.
You're a minion, babe.
Yeah,
I've
sorry.
Just let it drop.
Nadia,
on the floor.
Welcome. Thank you for coming into the show.
Yay.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Nadia. So lovely to see you now. Well, first of all, I'll get Olivia, because you were chatting a little bit before. Was there a high street brand?
So I wanted to talk to you all about health and fitness, because I have been reliably informed by the lovely Rachel that you started off as a dancer and now are a bit of a taekwondo ninja.
That is such a... Oh, she will love that. Oh, my God.
Sorry, can I just say, I'm trying to get some brownie points because I mispronounced her name like three times.
It's all right. Rachel can't even pronounce
it. It's fine. I'm allowed. It's fine. It's all right. I've known you for a while. It's okay.
18 years, I heard.
Yeah, 18
years. It is about that now.
That's how old Rachel Downey is.
I was five.
She's 18.
I was five. It's okay. Nadia.
Yes. Well, I'd love to think I'm a ninja. I think in my head that I am, but in real life, it's, you know, it's a bit different. But yeah, I started off. I trained as an actress, but also trained in dance. Street dance is what I do now, and I choreograph in that area. And
you've also won for your choreography. Come on.
You're like proud mum in the corner.
I am stage mum with that.
Momager. Remember to tell them you won the spelling bee 2 years ago, all right? Remember. Now you remember, Sally.
Pretty much. Pretty much
you should be my agent, Rachel.
Done.
Take
50%.
God, 75. That much. I choreographed a short film that's all dance-based, and instead of using words, the dancers use dance. Sounds a bit odd, but...
Like opera, but dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because that's telling a story through the medium of songs that no one can understand, so...
Like what Nadia does, like through dance, but nobody understands.
So it won at the Alternative Film Festival in Toronto, and it's got two more nominations for a film festival in the UK and for the Dance Awards.
Congratulations.
So thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Doing amazing.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So you guys actually met through dancing, did you?
Yeah.
We did. It was at Pineapple Studios.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Rachel used to come with me to the breaking classes, dancing classes.
I said this, okay? I am cool. I am hip.
She did.
Breakdancing. So what?
Down with the kids.
If I was to challenge you right now, you two could do a little breakdance.
Yeah, I'd probably lose.
Does anyone want to see a dance off?
No. I mean, I'll happily do it.
I do.
She'll beat me. I just can't. She'll beat me.
Yeah, because I'm so much better. No, Nadia can do tricks. She can do everything. But you've come back from injury. Mm-hmm. One thing, actually, because in the last few months, I've got into running, and I run and I run and I run. That's meant to be a bit like Forrest Gump. I don't think it worked.
Didn't get that.
And
no,
I run and she ran.
Rachel,
and
run.
I run. I like box chocolates. Totally wrong. Anyway,
it's a tumbleweed in this.
That's a lot. I bought a trunk load of tumbleweed for this occasion. And, you know, it's one of those things, other people that have come back from injury, it's very frustrating because you want to just get back into it straight away. And it's like me when I'm running. It took me a while to kind of build up stamina. My knees hurt. How have you found it kind of coming back into fitness, pushing yourself again?
It's been so challenging. And it's, I mean, Rachel knows this about me, but I've had so many injuries from martial arts and dance. And a lot of footballers know about the ACL. ACL recovery is like a year or a year and a half. But I had a pelvis problem. And again, a lot of athletes will know about that. And it can start affecting the nerves and the organs. And I just didn't know how bad it could get if you didn't look after yourself. And I was out pretty much bedridden for about a year and a half. You know, there's the psychological effects of it and the confidence and thinking, am I ever going to get back there? Because even if you do any sort of sports or exercise, it's not just getting back to it, it's getting the confidence to do it. And it's like you kind of need like a kickstart just to get back to normal.
Completely agree. I mean, I think I need a bit of a kick out the door every single time I choose to go to the gym. And if I miss even one session, psychologically, I can end up thinking I'm no good. There's no point. And then you can psych yourself out thinking, well, what's the point?
You feel guilty.
Yeah.
And it had a massive impact on my life. I mean, I run an agency as well where we have a lot of sports people, martial arts, dancers.
Free Your Style.
Free Your Style Collective.
Thanks,
Mum.
Sorry, darling.
It's just such a, it's a tough thing. You know, anyone who knows with injury, even if you're out for 3 months, that just feels like such a long time. But yeah, for me, a year and a half is just a little bit too much. But I'm back now.
Yeah. Well, looking after your mental health is quite a big theme at the moment throughout sport and fitness. There's actually a campaign at the moment called Movember. I'm sure many of our male listeners will be very familiar. Hopefully sporting Mo's by now. What is it? What are we on, like the 4th, 5th? 3rd of November.
Nowhere near, babe.
Sorry, I tried. I'm actually doing the Mo Mission at the end of the month, so I will be tweeting out a link should any lovely listeners choose to donate to see me get all muddy and sweaty doing an SAS challenge.
Oh, is that what it is?
I thought you were growing a, attached.
Me too.
I was like, oh,
I can give you some tips.
I mean, that would be quite inappropriate.
It's okay.
You know? No, I will be going down with the team. I'm going with Rebecca Adlington, the swimmer, Ewan Thomas, Sam Thompson, a few others, and we'll be escaping
good
evading. But that was a bit of a segue because we're meant to be talking about Nadia.
Oh no, that's
S.
cool. Good for you.
No, but that's brilliant. Nadia, I like that.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the touch on the Anthony Joshua and the athleisure that you mentioned.
Rachel is just right now firing words at me. Yeah, Anthony Joshua. Okay, vertical mile.
Yes.
Now, the vertical mile is a challenge that has been set by Anthony Joshua's gym, BXR.
Ah.
And it's all about, obviously, climbing a mile, but you have an allotted 40 minutes to do it. And they're doing this challenge once every 2 months. And you can sign up. It's not designed for total beginners to climbing, so you do need to get into the swing of it. Because I don't know if you guys have done a VersaClimber class. It's a bit like spinning, but
not climbing. Because I was about to say, we want to climb.
It's not,
but I don't think that's
It's not climbing like a climbing wall.
No.
You're on a cardio equipment.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, really tough. I tried it out the other day and I got nowhere near a mile, I have to say.
It's
quite difficult just to keep on going. And that must be something that you face, especially coming back from injury, that need for stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, you've got muscle memory, but how do you get that back?
It's a complicated one because even if you're doing a lot of strength training, it's not the same as a cardio or a, like you said, stamina. Cardio stamina is different to strength stamina.
Mm.
And that's what I've learned. And I'm still yet to get that cardio stamina back. And there's a lot to be said for sort of like trajectory muscles and motion. So if you're running or jumping, if you're not using those muscles, your body doesn't actually release a certain chemical that you need to get through things, which I've learnt. I feel like I could be a physio now. I've learnt so much about it, and it's such a different, like, you know, as you said about mental health, it affects your mental health, your confidence, your stamina. It's all connected.
Mm.
And if you don't do one thing's going to suffer. So Rachel I know she can run like for days pretty much. And I can't run like that. Maybe I do heavier weights than Rachel. So it's getting the balance.
There is also a need of specificity in training.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the hardest things, maybe, finding things that slot in with your everyday life, like a functional training class, rather than isolating muscle groups. Because I'm actually studying to do a PT course now.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that's blown my mind the most is people saying, actually, when you go in the gym and you use one of those machines or you do a bicep curl or something, you're not helping yourself because you're allowing your body to train in a situation it is never going to be in.
That's and a very good point.
You're actually better to go and go for a run, do a dance class, do taekwondo, do something where your body's going to be put through its paces.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually going to prevent injuries so much better than if you go and do a hamstring curl 7 times.
Absolutely.
And then you've got an overdevelop, you know, because your muscles work together.
Well, your body reacts differently, doesn't it?
Yeah, my mind's just being blown by all this information.
Mm. It is true. And it's probably very easy to stick within that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How have you found it now when you are back to your fitness, you're working out? How easy is it? Surely you just want to be like, right, taekwondo, I want to take all the exams going, or I want to just go at it. How hard is it to stay and pace yourself?
It's been really hard. So this was my, like I said, my comeback year. Sounds so
it's like
stupid.
A film.
Yeah, in my head it's like a film. But so I got back into taekwondo again this year, and it was really, really difficult. Like we said, you need the strength, the stamina.
Mm-hmm.
It's just completely different. And I actually taught cartilage in my right hip last year, and I did it again this year because now I don't have any I'm not aware of my pain levels in my pelvis anymore, so I'm just kind of doing things hell for leather, and that's all because of what I went through last year. So I'm back to physio again and gym rehab at Isokinetic, actually, which are the official UEFA physios, work with all the top footballers and stuff, and they're just incredible. And it's not just about getting your muscles, you know, massaged and stretched. It's about strengthening and rehabilitation. Mm. So, taekwondo has been a massive challenge for me because, again, it's the pelvis and the hips are just at a really weird angle that we
don't normally do they in real life.
They say that...
not me.
I did a yoga class recently, and the lady who was the instructor who was taking it said to us at the beginning of the class, now don't be alarmed if after this class you feel very emotional. And I thought, oh God, whatever, fuddy-duddy, you know, tree-hugging yogis, yeah, whatevs. Take me to a world. Treadmill. Like, yeah, get me out of here. And actually, afterwards, because we did a very hip-opening class, and afterwards I did feel pretty weird. Like, it was a couple of hours later, and I was like, God, I feel like I want to cry, but I don't know why. And apparently we store so much emotion in our hips, mm-hmm, and when we release it, it actually allows it to flow. I mean, we're now getting
that
in the realms
amazing.
Of chakras and energy. And
no, it's not even... It's actually... You can see it physically. When you're stressed, your back and everything hunches over, your chest tightens, and that shortens, in turn, that shortens the hip flexors. So that's where you're holding it. Especially women, we hold it in the pelvis, and men, it's more the shoulders and the back. So it's not as much as, you know, there's a whole spiritual thing connected to it. It's also a physical thing that you do to yourself. So if you're...
That
you
makes
know,
more sense.
Yeah. If your head's not right, your body's not right. If your body's right, your head's right. Yeah. So it's all like weighing it up.
And speaking of yoga, I'm surprised Rachel hasn't fired this one at me yet, because this is the one we've both been gagging to talk about. Naked yoga.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
If you could do it for us, Nadia, that would be appreciated.
No, this is just because I was doing a little bit of research.
There are no cameras.
For this, except for the massive one above your head. I was doing a bit of research for this show, and I typed in date ideas, fitness date ideas, because I thought, you know, let's make it a bit fun. And this came up, and apparently it's a thing.
Olivia's very forward on a first date.
On a date?
Have you never been on a Barry's date?
No, we're not those kind of people, Olivia, okay?
Well,
we
have.
Like to go for dinner and drinks.
Have you got trousers on, Olivia? Because I can only see you've got a top on right now. Are you one of those?
Hey, there is no
free-loving here.
Half nudity yogis, you know. But apparently, yeah.
Did you get naked?
Thing.
Have you done it?
No.
Oh,
no.
You've done it.
No, I just read about it. But this... So, first of all, pause. I read about it in Las Vegas. And apparently it's a really big thing over there. But at the bottom of this article, they'd said, if you Google naked yoga plus your city, you'll find naked yoga classes. Mm. There is a movement in London for naked yoga. Apparently it's very freeing. And it increases endorphins.
I just wonder why
people need to get naked.
Well, why would? Yeah, you could, at home, fair enough. But I think you'd wonder why other people were turning up.
Well, do you know what? I'm gonna. Annoyingly, I'm gonna have to just pause this. We will come back to the nakedness. If you have just joined us, I apologise, Mother. I apologise, because we've got a fantastic interview coming up with the very lovely Leon Mann. I spoke to him a little bit earlier on, and here it is. Now you're listening to Pitch Talk. This is Rachel Downey on FUBA Radio, and on the phone right now I've got Leon Mann. Leon, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm very, very good, Leon Mann. You are one of the founders of Football Blacklist, and the Football Blacklist celebrates and highlights role models from the black community who are working in football. Leon, first of all, I know the Football Blacklist is next week. What exactly is the Football Blacklist for people that don't know?
Yeah, for people who don't know, the Football Blacklist is a celebration of African and Caribbean heritage people working in the game. But the focus is very much in off the pitch, because we have a situation in the professional game where we have one in three professional players across the 92 clubs are of an African or Caribbean background. However, we only have four black managers. We have no chairman, no chief executives. So we are heavily underrepresented outside of the playing. So basically, the idea behind the Football Blacklist is to highlight the few people that we do have who are doing great work, who are, if you like, role models and pioneers for the next generation, to show the next generation that you can progress, there is a way, and to encourage them to get more involved in the game.
What has the support been like from the football community?
The support's been outstanding. We of course, have our celebration, which is supported by the Premier League for the second year, and we've got a great relationship with them. If you look at our website, thefootballblacklist.com, if you have a look at thefootballblacklist.com, then you'll see that we've got the FA, the Professional Football Association, Kick It Out, Fair. I've just received a message today from FIFA, sending us a message of support to be played at the event next week. So we've got
congratulations.
The local support for this. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, given that the initiative started as an idea that I took to Rodney Hines of the Voice newspaper, is just something to go into the newspaper, a list of names, really, to help inspire people reading it. And then he kind of helped to develop it, and together we developed it into what it's become today, which is an initiative which is recognised, you know, across the game and across communities and now globally. So, we're delighted with how it's gone and the support we've had from the game.
Now, you've mentioned there about the Voice News, and I know you wrote an article, I think it was yesterday, and in it you said that a well-respected footballer actually challenged you about the football blacklist, saying, what exactly are we celebrating? Now, were you surprised that he said that? And are you surprised that people maybe still are confused why have they got to celebrate?
I think the first thing is that the player who approached me with that email has a valid point. You know, it's difficult to get your head around the concept of celebrating achievement when you have, you know, no chairman, no chief executives, and only four black managers. Given the landscape is, you have a huge representation from the black community in the game. Mm. However, it's context here that's vital, because, you know, there are lots of award ceremonies and they're fantastic, and I go to many of them, and we need to, you know, congratulate people for achievements. But actually, the people achieving in this climate, when there's so much underrepresentation, you know, deserve a special thank you in many respects, because they're achieving, you know, when history shows that it's more difficult to do so. So they're pioneers, and actually what we need to do is not just an award ceremony to give someone something to say thank you. Actually, it's inspiring other people to want to get more involved in the game and to have a belief that they will be accepted in the game. And of course, up until this point, we haven't seen that in a wholesale mainstream way, if you like. Mm. We need a greater encouragement of the next generation. And sitting alongside that, of course, we need to lobby for greater opportunity, because there's no point us saying to black communities, come on, get more involved in the game, if the doors do not open, if they remain locked. Now, the very fact that we have good relationships with the footballing authorities, I hope, will help to encourage those doors to open. What football is saying in terms of an industry is it's saying we want to be more diverse. We understand that we've got things wrong in the past and we want to be more diverse because we believe it will make our business better. And we're supporting that with these awards that we're giving at this celebration.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. You really are. Well, you're starting the conversation and you're really opening those doors, I think. I think it's a fantastic thing, the Football Blacklist. And it's next Wednesday, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's next Wednesday. It's at a secret location. I can't say where it is.
Shucks.
It's invite only at the moment. But for those people listening interested in attending in the future, the aspiration, of course, is to make this like the Mobos.
And can you see that, with how far this has gone since 2008, can you actually see that being a reality?
Well, I mean, the demand is there. The demand is there. I mean, I have this thing where I don't want to charge people to come to this event. The feeling behind that is because I don't want someone to be prevented from coming to this event because of economics. Mm. I think that would be wrong. I think, you know, the people that are working at community level aren't paid particularly well. So I don't want to ask them to pay their money to come along to an event that they absolutely own. It's part of, it's celebrating their achievements. It's about them. Obviously I think that the Mobos charges people to have tables, etc., at their awards. We don't do anything like that at the moment. And that's not really part of what I think it's about. So it's about getting good sponsors on board and then, you know, seeing how we can continue to grow this. But at the moment, we're in a good space. We're starting a good conversation. It presents an opportunity for reflection. And for me, probably the most important thing is getting so many influential people from community level right up to the boardroom in one room helps us build momentum for change. And that's really what this is all about.
I think that's amazing. Well, Leon Mann, thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it. And good luck next Wednesday.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Bye, Leon.
Goodbye.
I really need a smooth... And that was Leon Mann. I need something smooth, like
Thank
it just
you,
happened.
Thank you, Leon. That was really interesting.
Yeah, I think the work Leon Mann has done, it's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I think it's very easy for people in a position to not kind of, you know, work towards others, you know, opening doors and champion them. And that's exactly what he's doing.
I mean, essentially, it's the same as in Clueless when... Cher asks Dion, don't you want to use your popularity for a good cause? It's that.
It's exactly that. And Leon, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, sorry, Leon. No, I just wanted to segue smoothly into my next piece, which I want to tell you all that there's a really exciting new fashion launch because hopping on the athleisure bandwagon.
See, I love this. Can I just interrupt? Athleisure. I have to just get this out of my system because we're going to be doing this for a long time.
What do you mean?
Is this a serious athleisure?
Yes.
Am I on my Nadia's face? Nadia, do you know what athleisure is?
So is
Thank
it
you. Oh.
What? Okay. I thought this was a universally renowned term.
I don't.
Athleisure.
Athleisure.
Athletic leisure.
Yes. So essentially, it is activewear, but that doesn't really look like activewear. So activewear that, not like your fun run t-shirt and your scraggy old Nike faded tracksuit bottoms. Nice stuff that you can actually wear to and from the gym, go for a coffee afterwards. It's basically based on all the like yummy mummy yogis in Marylebone and Chelsea.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Oasis are...
You just blew my... top line.
I literally did. I'm so sorry.
So let's just rewind from the punchline of that. Oasis are launching. No, they have. So they actually did a collaboration this time last year with Pineapple Studios to do an activewear set.
Yeah.
But this is the first time they're ever doing it on their own. So technically, it is Oasis's first debut or their own athleisure collection.
Mm. I mean, that is amazing. And one last question about athleisure. You can wear it then for the gym and when you go out. Because I've never actually asked anyone. I've always
Does
like,
it
everyone,
absorb
I've
the
always
sweat because you
no.
know. If you, oh, right.
I think it's aimed at people who might not sweat so much. Like, for example, I am wearing. Because I'm a bit gross, I didn't shower after the gym. Because Rachel basically texted
so
me and was like,
so
being
proud.
So needy. She's like, I'm here. I'm like, mate,
so
I'm coming.
Proud.
Literally so. Ran from my bike, didn't. Went so past proud. Starbucks. But yeah, that's athleisure. And I think, Rachel, you had one last thing you wanted to add, didn't you?
I did indeed. We came up with the idea that every week we're going to have an inspirational woman in sport. And so for this week, I want us to talk about Kavita Devi, who's India's first woman WWE wrestler. Now, Kavita, after becoming a wife and a mother, she was told not to pursue sport, that she wouldn't get any support. And, you know, a lot of women around her, in where she comes from, within her culture, had the same struggles. But instead, she persuaded her family to support her. And I like this sentence, she repaid them by winning a South Asian Games gold medal.
Wow.
Since then, she is now competing internationally in WWE.
Amazing.
What I love is two things. She trains at the Great Kali Academy in Punjab. Now, the Great Kali, I'm saying this very quickly, he's actually the first Indian man to become a WWE wrestler, and he wants to give women the same opportunity. So the academy welcomes women who refuse to accept limitations and that wrestling is for guys only. Of course it isn't. And the other thing I love is that Kavita chooses to wear traditional Indian dress when she fights.
What?
Because she wants to tell other women that they can fight in any attire and need not feel shy because of costume.
That's awesome. Go girl.
That's so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That is really cool.
And what a note to end that on. I believe we've probably got about 30 seconds. That's it. That's our show.
Oh, wow.
It's done.
Rachel, we did it.
We did it. I can't swear. We bloody did it. There, I swore on an uncensored
Rachel,
show.
Rachel,
there.
Rachel, that is going to do it. Do it full out.
Face.
Do it full out.
Done.
Come on.
Nadia, thank you so much for joining us.
No
You've
problems.
Been obviously amazing. Sam Saunders, thank you for chatting to us earlier on. And Neil Mann, thank you as well for chatting to us as well. We've done it.
We've smashed that.
We
have. In my personal opinion, let's not check Twitter.
let's not at all. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you so much. Join us again next week, 5 till 6 on FUBAR Radio for the second ever pitch talk.
See you soon. Bye.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cotts. To listen again, simply go to foobarradio.com or our app where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@foobarradio.com or tweet @foobarradio.